God, no matter what we see or what we even feel. Believing in God is beyond circumstances, beyond our current situation. Believing God is far above what we're going through right now. We don't have to have the answer to believe in God, because He is the answer. If we wait to believe in God when we're seeing things manifest, it's not faith whatsoever. God is wanting all of our trust in the good and the bad, when we're strong, when we're weak, in the light and the dark, when we can't see it, when we can see it. We believe in God. I believe in God above anything I'm facing. I believe in God in anything I'm battling. I believe in God in anything that I'm going through. I believe in God above all of that. Though the waves are roaring, my God roars louder. Though the giant stands there, my God is taller. Though the Red Sea is there, my God can separate that, or I can cross over, because I believe in God, not my circumstance, not my sickness, not my pain, not my past, not my current, not my future fears. God, I believe You above all of those things, above every lie from the devil, above every deception he whispers. I believe You above everything that presents itself before me, because at Your feet, all of that becomes a non-reality. You're the one true reality that is King and God over all. That's what I believe in. Sing it again, Marjorie. Y'all sing it like you mean it now. Sing it. Lord, I believe in You. Our joy away. The world didn't give it, Gordon. The world can't take it away. Don't let your job take it away. Don't let your wife or husband take it away. Don't let your children take it away. Don't let your money take it away. Don't let anything take it away. God gave it to you. It's forever. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're weak, get your joy back. The way we get our joy is to know where it comes from. It doesn't come from what's happening out here. It came from what happened 2,000 years ago. For Jesus says that I go to the cross because of the joy that is set before me, because of what I see ahead, and that is us. His harvest, hallelujah, His harvest. I know the labor is hard. Oh, but the harvest is great. And we are recipients of the price Jesus paid 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Glory. I got to be seated tonight. So wish. Give me a little more volume on this. It says handheld. It's labeled handheld. All right, kids, you ready to go back? Go back and practice your song. You will be up Sunday morning, so be ready. Marjorie couldn't have picked a better song for my message tonight. We're talking about faith as one of our next spiritual fruit, faith. Faith is something that we should be expressing as a Christian. And I did not make this up. This is something that is one of these acronyms that's out there. So this is not a James Lewis acronym. So I want to give credit where credit's due. You don't know whose it is, but it's not mine. Faith. Good way to remember this. Forever, always, I trust Him. Forever. Not till you lose your job, but forever. Regardless, not till you wreck a Jeep, but forever. Not till you go through a family situation, but forever. Not when your kid acts up, but forever. Not when you don't feel like it, but forever. Always, I trust Him. I trust Him. And this is a fruit that as Christians, we should be producing all the time. It's a great testament to who we serve. It's a great testament to our Father that they see, how can you be so calm when everything is so rough? How can you be so steady when you ought to be in a mental ward? How can you keep on keeping on? How can you even wake out of bed and smile? How can you shake my hand and look in my eye and say, it's okay, I'm good? Because you're trusting in Him. He's our Father. He gets us through any storm, and there's no storm, there's no trial that has come against us that He is not already aware that's going to happen. And so we got to think about this. When things come into our lives unexpected that we don't like and we don't agree with that bring struggle and pain, we got to understand God knew it was coming. God already was aware that would come into our lives, and He has prepared us to get through that. And the way we get through it, one way, is we trust Him through it and believe Him. Because it doesn't catch Him off guard or by surprise. Why do these things come? That I can't answer. That's something you ask Him when you get to heaven. I don't know why we go through so many things, and I don't know why life is so hard sometimes. But I am thankful that because of faith, and we're going to get to a couple points here in a minute, and you'll see them on the screen, but because of faith, there's two things here. We can trust that our sins are forgiven, and we can trust that our future is certain. Man, these are two things that if we ever can get wrapped around, my sins are forgiven, I believe that. And my future is secure because of Christ, I believe that. That's called faith. That's believing and hoping for something you can't see. Nobody has really, I mean, I know there's been stories, but really in a tangible way that we can really say, oh yeah, that happened. There's not anybody that really has went to heaven and walked the streets and come back and gave a book report. Now, I know there's been testimony with people that say they saw this and they saw that and I saw that. But it's not like, you know, Gordon can go visit for, you know, for what be is eternity, right? He can't go for a little bit and then come back and say, man, I went to heaven. Here's what I saw, man. Here's what I saw. You ain't going to believe what I saw. Man, they had an enchilada buffet. Oh, you can eat, and you don't get fat, and you don't have no high cholesterol, and you don't feel bad after you eat it. You can just eat and eat and eat, and it was wonderful. Nobody's been there to really say that. But by faith, we believe that there is a life after this, because the Bible tells us there is. The Bible is clear that there is an eternity, that there's an afterlife. It's clear that we are grass that withers away, that's here today and gone tomorrow. But there's scripture after scripture that says that if we follow Jesus, we will not taste death. If you will believe in Him, you shall not perish. If you believe in Him, you shall not die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have all of this scripture that teaches us that there is a future that's waiting on us. And the only way we really know that is by faith. And we believe it. And we believe it to the point that we live it. And then we tell others about it. So let's get into scriptures. This is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Man, that's where we get messed up. We start leaning to our own understanding, our own thoughts, trying to figure it out. Instead of just trusting God through the storm. Think about you earlier, you know, when you lost your job at Lowe's of, 12 years? 12 years, lost your job at Lowe's. And didn't you tell me, I might be wrong, didn't you tell me they didn't call you right away, but the first place you applied, is that the one that ended up calling you and hiring you? Or was, that's what I thought. But it took a little bit, it wasn't instant, it took a little, 6 weeks. So, but she applied. And the first job that she applied for called her after 6 weeks. Now, that's a hard thing. And I know when you lose a job, it's, you know, you're like, you know what's next? You know, that's a big part of our life is working. But see, God had a plan. And, you know, you still may know what the full plan is, but you're there. And God's blessed you. And it didn't seem fair at the time. 12 years, I'm with this company. And they just out me like I'm a horse with a bad leg. See it? You know? But God, I'm sorry you have a bad leg. I'm so sorry. That was not.
I was just going to let it go.
I promise I wasn't even thinking about that. You're not walking with that thing no more. So I didn't. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh. Whew, that was bad. Okay, anyway, bad example. The point is, I'm sure Margie went through some anger and some, you know, a little bitterness and a little bit of frustration. She still fights it. But you know what? God had a different plan, and Marjorie ain't got to like it. She can still question God, don't understand it. But you know what? I trust you. And we can learn to trust God. It takes off so much of the stress. I'm just going to trust you, Lord. So I love that verse in Proverbs. Next scripture. Hebrews 11:6. And this is out of the Amplified. I pulled this out of the Amplified version. I liked how it broke down this one part. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Faith is key in our relationship with God. It's necessary. It's the key thing that we can't fulfill our role as his children if we're not walking by faith. We can't be the stewards he's called us to be if we're not walking in faith. That's why it's necessary. That's why it's not saying that God's mad at you if, you know, Gordon has a moment of weakness and stops, you know, I don't believe God. It don't mean, oh, boom, you're bad. It just means you can't walk in the fullness of what God has for you apart from faith. Because faith is standing there saying, God, I'm going to keep on trusting you and trusting you and trusting you. I go back to the story of Joseph. You know, we read that series on Joseph. You know, he was in prison for 2 years, locked away for 2 years. That's a long time. I mean, 2 days, we'd be knocking out the walls. 2 years, he's locked up in prison, forgotten about, supposedly, for a crime he didn't even commit. I mean, he was falsely accused, falsely charged. He was truly innocent. But he was thrown in that prison for 2 years. But God did not forget him. Joseph kept believing. Joseph kept praying. And his day came. And he went from being a convicted felon to being the prince of Egypt overnight. Because Joseph didn't stop believing. It's easy to doubt when things aren't going the way we want. But it's impossible to fulfill the plan of God if we're not walking by faith. And faith requires us to walk when we can't see it and when it's not good. Next scripture. Ephesians 2:8. Talking about faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith. Go to my next point. I said it a while ago. Through faith, your sins are forgiven. Through faith. This is how powerful faith is. That God says, if you will believe, your sins are washed away. That's so powerful. Now, if we believe that the price of Calvary washed us of our sins, and we believe that we will not stand in condemnation because we have been forgiven, why in life can we not trust God for the things here? To say, God, you saved me. You have forgiven me. Not a gift. Not nothing I can do to myself, God. This was a total gift that you bestowed upon me as you hung on that cross. And you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as you cried out in your last words, it is finished. I did a teaching on what that meant, it is finished, one time. It's powerful when you study what that really means, finished, in the original Greek and Hebrew text, what it really means. And to know that the work is finished, the price is paid in full, and by faith, I believe I'm going to be forever with my Lord and my Savior, forever. And ever and ever. That's how powerful faith is. Next scripture. Blessed be the God. This is 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy. Hath begotten us again into a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled. Fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Put your name in that spot. Who is kept by the power of God. Our inheritance is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed in the last time. My inheritance is kept by God through my faith in God that he's got it, that he's keeping it. That it's there for me. That I've got my reservation. I say this all the time. You go on vacation, most of the time you make a reservation. I've done got mine booked for next month. Don't know when I'll come back. I don't know. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I've got it booked. The room is ready. I've done paid it in full. The whole money's paid. It's paid. I'm done. And it's waiting on me. And I've got a little code and a little thing to get in. And it's got my name on it. And when I go to the guy at the gate to let us in the little area, I got to show him this little card. Yeah. I'm staying here. I belong here. See my reservation? I'm a child of the king. Here's my inheritance. And the gatekeeper has to let me in because the price has been paid. And I'm a legitimate citizen of that place. I'm trying to have a spiritual overtone here. Are you getting it? We are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And our inheritance. Hey, devil. Ha, ha. Hey, devil. Pow! Look at that. Can't touch this. Can't touch. Yeah. Can't touch this. So come over and try a lie to me. Tell me how bad it is. I'll tell you how good it is. Because my inheritance is kept through faith. It is reserved. It is undefiled. It is sealed. It is certain. It is there. It is waiting. It is now. It is forever. Hallelujah. Through faith. So why are we afraid? Why are we weak whenever we should be strong? And faith will carry us through those times that we're weak. We remind ourselves, my sins are forgiven and my future is sealed. My sins are forgiven and my future is sealed. What else compares to that? Nothing compares to that. Next. Through faith, your future is secure. Through faith. Joe Brown, do you have any doubt when your breath leaves your body where you're going to go? How come you can be so sure? How come you have no doubt about that? John 3:16. You want to quote that verse in case folks here don't know what that says? It's a tag team effort. I love that. Been married 50 years. Yes. Whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People say, well, even Christians say, well, Joe, that's kind of smug, isn't it? Where's your fear of God? Don't you worry you may not do enough to get in? You don't worry about doing enough to get in, do you, Joe? Because Jesus did enough for you to get in. He paid the price for all of us. And Joe believes that. And so through Joe's pain, when he can't hardly walk, through Joe's pain with his arms and his hands, through Joe's pain and through Joe's struggles, and Sharon too, I'll throw you in there too, through the pain and through the struggles, Joe can still smile and rejoice. For he knows his sins are forgiven and his future is secure. And nothing can take that away. Oh, nothing can take that away. I mean, really, for a Christian, if a doctor gives you a death sentence, as a Christian, it's really a life sentence. So when the doctor gives you a death sentence, say, oh, okay, so you've just given me life with no parole. Hallelujah. Yes. Life with no parole. Y'all know what that means. I know some of y'all's record. Life with no parole. That's what Jesus has done. Glory. Next scripture. Now, this is 1 Samuel 17:8. I'm going to give some examples here of faith. Some examples of men who exercised faith in the dire, most extreme situations when it looked impossible. This is the story of David and Goliath. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm skipping around to key verses. This is where the Philistine Goliath had defied Israel, and they were all a bunch of scaredy cats except for one man. So 1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 8, says this. He stood, talking about Goliath, and he cried to the armies of Israel and said to them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And you servants to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail, Goliath, against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine says, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So here's the big old bad bully, the big old enemy, calling out, send me somebody to fight. He's made a bargain with them. I win, you serve me. You win, we'll serve you. But I defy you. I'm coming against you. Send me a man. Skip down to verse 11. And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Man, how could they be afraid? They served the true living God. They had heard stories from their ancestors, their great-grandpappy and great-grandma, their gagas, their pawpaws of the generations that would tell them that my gaga and my pawpaw told me of the story of the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea and how God blew up on the waters and it parted it. But before that, how 10 plagues came and none of them touched them. None of the plagues came nigh their dwelling. And then God swallowed up the enemy in the Red Sea where they have found their bones and their skeletons and chariot wheels have been discovered in that very place, confirming, yes, God blew up on the waters and he saved his people and he put them in the promised land. That's the stories they heard. And now here comes one big bully, one big middle schooler stuck out there, you know, blowing everything up, saying, come on and fight me. And they, the army, was afraid. They were afraid because their faith was not in him. Their faith was in them. Now understand, I wouldn't want to face Goliath myself either in my own power. You know, Michael Becker is a pretty tough guy. I mean, you ever hug him, man, you like get hurt. I mean, you like, man, you chisel, bro. You get Michael mad. Used to be a cop or something. You know, yeah, he knows all the ways. Put me down. You probably got that way. You matched that one certain spot. You like paralyzed. Like that. I don't want to mess with that. And so, you know what? He gets all heated up and mad. He's sitting there like he's like the Hulk in front of me. I'm, me and myself. Bill, come on, brother. You're a Yankee boy. Come on, boy. We lost that war. Come on. But man, if I knew God and I had the whole army against Michael, come on, man. Come on, James. You can take him. You serve God. Remember what Daddy said about Moses? Remember what Grandpa said about Moses? Come on. Who are you serving? You serving yourself? You serving God? They had no faith and they were afraid. Go to the next verse. Skipping down to 32 now. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Man, why would you say that? I mean, man, if Bill comes to me and says, hey, I'll take Michael, go, bro. I ain't going to say you can't do it. I just got to, I ain't got to do it. Go, man. You can do it. I believe you, man. I'm a tiger, baby. Come on. That's what I'd be saying. I'm just saying. Here he is trying to scourge him. He says, you're not able to go fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And then David begins to testify. Oh, he begins to testify here. Look what he says. And David said to Saul, the king, your servant, talking about himself, kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him. I killed him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. He was testifying, man. What are you talking about? Don't worry, Saul. I know I'm not a man of war. You know, I know I'm a lover, not a fighter. I get that. I'm going to tell you what what happened in the field before. Let me tell you what God did before. And if God can give me the strength to defeat a lion and defeat a bear, he's the same God give me the power to defeat this giant. There's no difference. See, we size things up. God doesn't. We base our faith, we measure our faith based on the battle. It's human nature. You know, you go to the doctor, like we heard tonight, somebody had stage 4 cancer.
We'd much rather hear, if between all of it, we'd much rather hear stage one cancer, right? Oh, stage one, okay. God, you got this, stage one. But there's really no difference with God what stage of anything you're at. Whatever you're battling and whatever you're going through. God, if we believe that God's the miraculous, we got to believe that he can do miraculous in any situation, not just the ones that we think he can do. Well, God, you can probably handle that, but man, whew, that's a big one there now. God, that's a big one. I don't know if you can get her done on that one, God. That's a big one. He's like, what's your faith? Is your faith in what you're seeing in front of you, or is your faith in who you're serving? And David made it very clear, King, the God of this nation is going to be the one that puts him down. Just watch. Now we skip down to 37, sorry. Then we skip down. 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Then verse 44. Yes, 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, and this should be our testimony here tonight. Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. So let's put it today's terms. You're coming against me with unemployment, with divorce, with a rebellious child, with a sickness or disease, with depression, oppression, discouragement, anxiety. Whatever it is, God, you're coming against me with these things that are very real, very viable, and definitely affect our lives. But look what David's coming with. I'm coming to you with one thing. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, the host of the God of the armies of Israel, which you have defied. I'm using faith against you, Mr. Goliath. It's not going to be me that does it. Yeah, you're armed. You got a shield, a big sword, a big old helmet, and you've been battling all your life. You've been trained for this. I mean, you've killed many people, and this is what you've lived your whole life doing. I'm not a warrior, not a soldier, not a military guy, never fought anybody. But that doesn't matter because my faith's not in my abilities, not in what I can do. It's in what my God of Israel can do. And that's what I'm coming against you with. So let's see what happens. I wonder if he wins. 46. This day will be kind of a bad message if I let him lose. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I'll take your head from you, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a great man named David in Israel. That's not what it says, is it? That there's a God in Israel. There's a God who will not let me lose because my faith is not in what I can do. My faith is what he can do. And he can move any mountain and turn over any stone and part any river. That's what my God does. And that's where my faith is at. Not in what I can do, but what in my God can do. And he declared it. He spoke it forth. He said it before it even happened. This is what's going to happen. I love how descriptive he was, right? It wasn't just like, hey, man, I'm just going to, I'm going to hit you and you're going to fall over and you'll die. Man, I'm going to cut off your head and I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts. There'll be them Israelite turkey buzzards flying around Goliath. You know them old things you don't like, and they'll be all flying around and picking and eating his flesh. And all of Israel would see this little man named David with no battle experience, no military experience. He's a shepherd boy. See, that's what I love. Shepherds were gentle people, right? Pastors are related as being shepherds because of the responsibilities and the heart. David had a shepherd's heart, protecting the flock, keeping the flock safe. The flock trusted David, and he did all he could to keep bad stuff out. He had a shepherd's heart. He was gentle. I bet the armies are like, oh, man, we're in trouble, David. It's like when you're in school, you're playing a baseball game, and the one that can't ever hit a ball is on the line, the bases are loaded, two outs, and he's up. Oh, no, Jimmy's up. Oh, my God. Three strikes. Oh, my God, we got Jimmy up here. Are you serious? Man, he's alert to grass. He's alert to dirt, alert to the bases. He can't, He can't have seeds. This is who we're, he's going to swing the bat. That's what they must thought about David. You're picking this little shepherd boy, a little youth, a little teenager. He was a teenager at this time, young. And he's sitting here before this scary giant and with no hesitation declares the word of God. You know how he could do that? It wasn't just a good speech to psych him up. It wasn't some self-motivation tape he'd listen to. The reason David could say that, he'd experienced it. It's hard for us to walk in things we've not experienced. That's why it's important spiritually that we open our hearts and minds to hear the voice of God and experience Him, not just hear about Him, but experience His healing, experience His deliverance, experience His presence, experience His anointing, experience His power, experience His breakthrough, and realize, yes, God, I've always heard about it, but man, now I've seen it. Now I've received it. Now I walk in it. Now I can talk about it because I know what I'm talking about. David knew what he was talking about because he had experienced God's blessings before. He experienced it. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if all of a sudden, if somehow I was out there in the backyard of church and, you know, I delivered a cat out of the mouth of a lion, a bear, old Michael wouldn't scare me that much no more. Go ahead, hit that button, brother. You ain't going to freeze me. I like how he says, I took the lion by the bear, the lion by the beard. I might just see David like Samson or something, you know, or slamming on the ground. I don't know how he did it, but I grabbed him by the beard and I killed him. Man, he had experienced it. When we experienced stuff, our faith elevated. Next scripture. And that all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with the sword, not with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he, not me, he, the Lord, will give you into our hands. Faith in him. Something we should be walking in as Christians with no hesitation. And it came to pass when a Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Man, he wasn't holding back. He's going after like a pit bull. And David put his hand in his bag, took a stone and slung it, smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed, means he won, church, over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. I mean, think about the eyewitnesses seeing this. Here's Goliath, who was said to be, most people agree he was 9 foot or taller. If you read history, 9 foot. So, I mean, this makes NBA players look like, you know, short people. 9 foot tall, broad as a barn, completely covered in armor, helmet, breastplate, sword, shield, had the right shoes. I mean, the little knee pads, whatever. You know, I mean, he was covered. And he's standing there, and here comes David in a sackcloth with a little bag of rocks around his shoulder and a slingshot. Okay, you ready? On the count of three. Here I go, Goliath. And one little stone from a slingshot took down this man who had been a battler his whole life. God got behind that stone. God's power was in that stone. God's anointing and his presence was in that stone. It wasn't the actual stone that killed him. It was the power of God that killed him. So we may feel limited on resources because this is all I've got, Pastor. This is all I can offer. This is all of my skills, all my abilities, all my talents. What can I possibly offer to God? Take what he's given you and then let God breathe on it. You know, I've never gambled before, but you know, you see in the casinos where they blow on the dice. Mama needs a new pair of shoes. Give me some 7. And they roll it across that table. That's what God does. He takes your skills. He takes your... Watch Gail now. 74 years old. Watch him now. Joe Brown has pain, can't hardly walk. Watch him now and I get hold of him. Miss Sharon, all sweet, no one hurt. Watch her now, and I get hold of her. Like a pit bull. In the name of Jesus, leave my Joe Brown alone. Watch that demon flee. It's amazing what God does in our lives when we let him. Not about what we have, it's about what he has. And all sources come from him. So David prevailed, smote the hand. Yeah, go ahead. All right. Next scripture. Daniel 3, Manly loves this story. I know it's 5 to 8. I'm going to try to hurry and wrap this up. Daniel 3 and 5. This three Hebrew men, who were in a pagan country and who would not serve the gods of that country. And the king got mad because they didn't bow the first time. So he come to him again and said, boys, I know you didn't bow, but look here. If you be ready that at what time you hear the sound, the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the image which I have made, all is well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace, burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? I love the arrogance he says here, because he's about to find out. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Think about that. I'm the great Saddam Hussein, right? I'm the great Osama bin Laden. I'm the great Hitler. Who can deliver you out of my hands? What arrogance. Next verse. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and these actually were names that the king, when they moved that country, the king gave them these names to tie them in more with the culture. They had different names before this. They answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you. Don't have to think about it. No need to keep pushing it. Because this, in this matter, don't even think about it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Think about this. If he saves us from the fire, we're good. If he doesn't save us from the fire, we're still good. Because we're out of your hand. You had no power. I'm with the very God that I want, that I serve, and I refuse to bow down to your gods. And that's the one I'm standing up for. So whatever happens, O King, God has got it. And of course, is there another verse in Daniel? Is that it? Yeah. But if not, be known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image with you has set up. They made it very clear. Threaten us all you want. I'm not going to do it. Because our faith is in our God and not your gods. Now, I didn't go the rest of the story for time's sake, but we know what happened. They did throw it. They didn't bow. They threw them in a fiery furnace, turned it up, threw it in. The soldiers that put them in, they were killed outside the door. They closed the door. The king looks in the window, and he says, I see three men. I see four men. How many did we throw in? We threw three, king. Well, I see four men, and one looks like the Son of God. Bring him, boys, out. And that goes on to say they brought them out of the furnace, and they didn't even have the stench of smoke or the smell of smoke on them. You know why? Because, man, God preserves wholly and completely. He was showing them not only did they not die, your soldiers that were outside the door, that's a whole other message. Your soldiers that were outside the door died, and the ones you put inside walk out and don't even smell like smoke. It didn't touch them. I can see God putting almost like how you were thinking sci-fi, a force field around them. Like a force field bubble where nothing could touch them. And they were delivered. And not only were they saved, but guess what? They were promoted. And the king gave them new positions. And even made a declaration that nobody could come against their God. See, it all goes back to the glory of God. Their faith not only set them free, but man, it was a sign to see for a whole nation to see. Wow. You don't think there's some talk about that? Look, I bring a big old oven in here on Sunday mornings, big old walk-in oven. I start throwing folks up in that oven. I get Gail and Joe and Sharon, say, come on up. Crank that thing up to 1,000 degrees, throw them in the oven, close the door. And then I open it, and they walk out. Hallelujah. This church be packed. I mean, it'd be like, oh, my God, it's happening at Living Word, boy. Woo! They threw three people in the oven. Of course, you know, the news would spin all that around, but I mean, it wouldn't be good throwing an oven. But you know what I'm saying? The news would spin that around and make it really negative. But think about that. Think what a witness that was to everybody. Them boys were in an oven, and they walked out alive. Our pagan gods cannot do that. Our golden images cannot do that. There must be a real living God they are serving. Don't tell me there wasn't some. I bet you there was some people that turned to their God during that time. I got one more scripture. Romans 4:20. This is Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God. This is when God promised him a baby. Remember? He had to wait 25 years to get it. God told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have your own child, Isaac. Abraham waited and waited and waited. 25 years passed by. Talking about some discouragement. But it did happen. As we know, he did have Isaac. But during that time, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. There's something about praising him in our storm. There's something about giving God glory when there's nothing maybe to give God glory about. Let's just be honest. I mean, when all the chips are down and everything looks really bad, it's pretty hard to praise God sometimes. But as we praise God, and here's what I'm saying, we can't praise God with anything attached to what we're going through. We praise God for who he is. He's God whether we're happy or not. He's God whether we're blessed or not. He's happy whether we're sick or well, rich or poor. He's God whether we're on a mountain or in a valley. He's still God. And so our glory goes to God. God, I give you glory. I give you praise. Though I'm not seeing the breakthrough, I know what your word says. And I know who I am in you. And I know you're listening. And I know you won't leave me alone. And I know, God, that my breakthrough's on the way. The answer's on the way. Because you're in me and I'm in you. And there's nothing to separate me from your love. And God, I give you praise. And I give you glory. Because my sins are forgiven. And my future is sealed. And all the stuff in between that, you're still working out. And you're here and you're alive. And I'm well and I'm breathing. I'm on this side. Thank you, Lord, for whatever thing I can, we give God praise. There's something we can give God praise for. There's something all of us tonight can give God glory for. In the battle, we can still give God glory because the battle hadn't defeated us. The battle hadn't buried us. The battle hadn't destroyed us. We're still here. We're still standing. We're still fighting. We're still his. We're still covered by the blood, and the devil can't do nothing about that. Hallelujah. That's why we give God glory. People are blessed to give God glory to him, knowing that God should get glory all the time. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Do we believe that what God promised, he's able to deliver? Oh, hold on. Those promises may not come tomorrow, next month, next year. But there is a season of your life that you will experience the promises of God. In the meantime, we believe. No matter what the world says, we believe. No matter what the preacher says, you keep believing. No matter what your wife or husband tells you, you keep believing. No matter what your coworkers tell you, you keep believing. And you keep believing. And you keep believing. And you believe until there's no breath in your body. And at that point, it won't matter. Because you will be where God is. Go ahead, Brandon. Through faith. I'm going to read you a verse. I got to think about this toward the end of my message preparing this. Through faith, all the disciples left what they knew to follow the unknown. Remember when Jesus went by and started calling them out? Hey, Matthew, follow me. Peter, follow me. If you do some study, at least six or seven of them are confirmed they were fishermen, professional fishermen. And some of them actually had their own businesses, and they employed people to fish. So these were businessmen. They were wealthy. They had plenty of substance. One was a tax collector, and that's another whole message out, because tax collectors in that generation were considered vile, evil, still are, I know, but they were considered vile and evil and really bad. And that's what, you know, and so here's the disciples as Jesus passes by and says, will you follow me? Drop your nets. Will you follow me? And these disciples left what they knew by faith to follow this message and to follow this man and look at what they saw because they left it all. The miracles of seeing Lazarus raised and the blinded eyes open and all the experiences they had of seeing this little boy's lunch feeding 5,000 men and then plus women and plus children and all of that, but even having leftovers to send home. I mean, they saw this. They would not have saw that if they hadn't forsook all by faith and trusted God. Is that it? Once again, close out with this. Forever, always, I trust him, not my situation, not my circumstances. This is a fruit of the Spirit as Christians that we should be expressing every day of our lives, along with love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We should be expressing faith that we pray for someone when they need it. And then when they say, it looks impossible, how do I get through this? We take their hand and say, let's pray and let's trust God. Exercise that faith. Faith may not be realized right now, but faith will come to pass in God's timing, in God's season, in God's way. And with that, the Lord said, amen. think Gordon had that set to make sure I shut up at 8:05. Good timing, brother. We need to make that little PowerPoint bigger, Mom. Please silence all cell phones there. Sanctuary. Hey, next month, put Gordon's name on there, especially you, Gordon. Put it on there. Anybody got anything to add tonight? That is a great revelation. I don't know if y'all really got the depth of that. I mean, think about this. It goes right along what we read. Was Goliath an obstacle for David? Not at all. What do you mean obstacle? He started calling him out before he did anything. You're going down. So what? You're big. So what? You eat spinach. Big deal. Was the Red Sea obstacle for Moses? Not at all. What did he say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the water parted. You really get thinking about that. That's a deep revelation that will really help us in our walk. That our storm should not be our obstacle if our faith is in Him. What can measure against that? Nothing. Beautiful. That is excellent. That is wonderful. Wow. Like Vanna White back there, Wheel of Fortune. Holding your arm out. But let's stand up. We'll close out in prayer. So glad you're here. If you have an offering tonight, you can put that in the offering plate over here by the window. Father, we are grateful for this message you've given us tonight. We're grateful for your word that continues to remind us to place our faith in you. Thank you for the revelation, Lord, that came forth from Melon tonight. That it's such a deep revelation that obstacles, that these storms and battles should not even be an obstacle. It wasn't for your other patriarchs. They trusted you to the point that you were bigger than what they were facing. And what a revelation, God. Thank you for that. I pray that you continue to bless us this week and order our steps, watch over us and keep us, and let us be a witness and a light to those around us of your mercy and your love. Let them experience the faith we have tonight, God, that they will have breakthroughs in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.